As part of our study of contemporary halacha, we want to study the laws and the rules, the regulations, the recommendations that apply to using the internet today, guides for the digital age, as we call it, social media, and many people in our generation, even in the Orthodox community, have access and use the internet in many different ways. And the question is, what are the halachic and ethical, guidelines? Now, we talk about moral principles, and these govern a person's behavior or a group's behavior, whether it's an individual or group. So we're talking about moral codes, morality, we're talking about values, we're talking about rights and wrongs, principles, ideals. We talk about integrity. We could talk about privacy, and there are many, many different ideals. We'll see, for example, in the Or Chaim HaKadosh in Bereishis, which was published some, 350, maybe 400 years ago, that there are Shivim Panim LaTorah. There's no one specific explanation that is the only explanation of a pasuk. Shivim Panim LaTorah, you can understand and derive different conclusions from a pasuk. And we are absolutely committed to the halacha, in other words, with regard to halacha per se. There are certain rules and regulations. An Amora can't argue with a Tana. So even though Shivim Panim LaTorah, but when it comes to halacha, there are certain definite normative laws and regulations that apply. And in a sense, we could say that, in a sense, yayin, in a sense, which tastes so in so many different ways, Torah is like yayin. It could be understood in many different ways. But at the end of the day, we have something called halacha. Now, in terms of the developments of modern society, things are moving today and changing like the speed of light because of developments in technology, and this has, in many ways, has been wonderful, and we can enrich our lives. I know for myself, there are many advantages I can get from Torah on the internet, and I try to record my shiurim, as you know, and put them on the YU Torah site, where you can get probably close to 200,000 shiurim. So there's and that's just one site. There's so many others. There's Torah Anytime and a bunch of others. So you have access to so much Torah and printed Torah. And so many saw all this through the internet. All this is a result of modern technology. Things that were impossible and unthinkable probably 20 years ago are ma'asim b'chol yom today. But nevertheless, since the internet is some sort of major form of communication today, then we have to remember that Torah has what to say. Torah has guidelines here. And the internet sometimes is like the Wild West. Everybody does what they want to. So I have a few essays here about social media, about ethics, about Torah principles. Some of the most important ideas and ethics that we have to think about are identity. In other words, every person has his own name, which indicates his own identity. We're given it by our parents. And we also have a reputation, we have a stature, we have a smile, we have a countenance. Each of us has his way of projecting himself. And unfortunately, sometimes our enemies give us bad names. But we have to be very careful about using names, about not using names improperly, about coming up with new names and negative names and all that stuff. Hamachan Hashem L'chaveru, that's a very severe isur. And we can talk about people who abuse the internet. You know, there's no real control over the internet. You could basically say what you want, Facebook, or you could Google things. You can attack people's identities. You can actually ruin their reputations, and we'll have a lot to say about this. On the other hand, you could project your own image in a fantastical way. I mean, everything goes, so to speak. As we said before, it's like the Wild West. And basically, as far as the respect to Kovod Adam and Kovod HaBrius, there's a real problem over here in the use of the internet. And, you know, we can't demand on the internet a respect for ourselves or for others. We can only touch on empathy, perhaps, but there are certain guidelines that have to, you know, the danger here of identity, of destroying someone's identity, of, for example, invading someone's privacy, because in Yadus, privacy is a definite right. You know, there's a whole Yisrael Sugi and Bava Basra about Hezek Re'iyah, where you invade someone's privacy. And in modern context, you know, privacy is something that's very, very much cherished in our democracies. And although maybe it's not so outspoken in Yadus, but it's definitely there. You know, Megalos Sod, we can speak about that. This is a terrible thing when you invade someone's privacy. In any event, one of the goals for our discussion here is simply, again, we're assuming that people are using social media, they're using the internet in many different ways. We're not going to address the question about whether we should discourage people from using the internet. The facts on the ground that people use the internet. And now the question is, what are our chiyuvim, our obligations? What are our limitations? What are our concerns? In what way should we be inhibited? Or basically to say the word responsible. How do we encourage being responsible? That the use of social media should be a responsible use of social media. So we're looking for guidelines for the use of social media. And we can talk again, as I mentioned before, about privacy. There is an absolute, I would say, an almost tenet of the faith that when we're talking about internet, we need to respect the holiness of this concept of privacy, because nothing is really private on the internet. Anything you put on the internet can be found from now until doomsday for all future generations. You know, your children, your anybody around you, neighbors, teachers, anybody can go onto the internet. You can research a person, you can find his criminal actions on the internet. You can find pictures, some of which are not very complimentary, and that could affect even shidduchim. Or even statements that people make online can affect shidduchim. There's a need here for an extreme caution. When we put things on the internet that's out there in the public, we have to realize that there's no privacy over here. For example, if you want to express a personal opinion, or if you release personal information on the internet, there's got to be a sense of responsibility, because anyone and our children will possibly get access to this information. And adults as well, there's got to be a recognition here of the seriousness of what's going on here when we put things up on the internet. Are we divulging personal information? If we write things about others, are they personal, private? Even if we say things about our own family members, our own children, we have to refrain from doing things that invade the privacy of our own family members, our own children. Again, this seems like such a simple principle. Why do I bother emphasizing it? But yet, we are witness to almost daily violations of our own children's privacy. And we have to guard their privacy, because this is the age of digital access. Everybody has access to the internet. It's on the web, as we say, and when you look on the web and somebody divulged something about their own children, instead of protecting the privacy of their children, and this could have a tremendous impact on the reputation of their children. And as I mentioned before, when it comes to looking for a marriage partner, this information, which is so accessible, can have a terribly negative influence and impact on our own family members. So that the first rule of thumb when using the internet and being sensitive to privacy is responsibility. People, when they get to the internet, they just drop their sense of responsibility. They feel like it's just freedom out there. And sometimes people remain anonymous on the internet. They protect their identities, but nevertheless, there's a drawback to anonymity, because if you're anonymous, then you don't feel any sense of accountability. You know, you feel, again, everything's hefker. There's no barrier, there's no inhibition. You could be absolutely, you could express hatred, so to speak, adversity. You could, no civility. You're even dishonest sometimes, because why should you be inhibited about being dishonest if your name is not there? Now, we have to make two points here. Point number one is that if people think that just by omitting their name, they have guaranteed their anonymity, that's living in a fantasy world. That's not true. You could never really, in any absolute way at least, limit your or guarantee your anonymity. There are always new methods that exist, and people detect users' identities. So if someone sends an email, for example, is a way of tracing back the identity of that email. And we know of a case, I'm not going to go into detail, of a rabbi who lost his position, partially at least because of an email he wrote, because they traced it back. Now, if people don't know that it's you, but you maybe do things that, according to the Torah, are violations. Torah is built on the fact that man was granted the most amazing gift, and that is the gift of speech. And you can misuse that gift of speech in so many different ways. There's so many different isurim in the Torah. And if you look in the Al-Chaitz that we recite, the Vidui of Yom HaKippur, you'll see how many of them have to do with our misuse of our power of speech, the greatest endowment that man has as a Tzelem Elokim, the Ruach Memalel that the Targum speaks about. So we have to have a high standard of behavior even when you're anonymous, because God knows who you are and what statements you are expressing on the internet. But the most important chiddush here is that we don't have that inhibition when we are anonymous on the internet. We begin to feel, you know, all our guards are down and no one's watching us and we can do whatever we want. You know, imagine a child who goes, you know, he runs away from home, or he goes on a trip with his friends and finds a place where they could be totally free, because nobody knows, or nobody's going to find out what they're doing there. The child just loves to break, you know, all barriers of tznius and go to preachers because he feels free. And that's what a person feels like when he goes on this world out there called the internet, and he could be anonymous and leave out his name, and he can vilify people and undermine them, and we'll speak about Lashon Hara later. This is one of the greatest challenges. So the first and most fundamental principle of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, so to speak, of using the internet is responsibility. Realize that you are responsible, even if you're so-called anonymous, for what you say and what you write and publicize on the internet. And when I say publicize, it's an amazing, infinite publicity, because you'll never be able to take it off. It's there, accessible for all generations, for all people on the globe, at any time. The cloud is accessible. These are the Anani HaKavod of the internet. So we have to create, in a sense, new barriers for ourselves. Now, there's a concept here that I found in one of the essays that I found on the internet. This is a Torah guide for the digital age from Jewish Action. I'm trying to get an idea exactly what's the date on this. I think it's summer of 2018, which would be less than a year ago, by Gil Student. And there's an emphasis here on what we call transparency. So this is something new to me. I'm not that experienced in the internet to tell you about transparency, but let's try to see if we can understand. The internet, as you know, has become a major vehicle for marketing, for the world of marketing, for promoting products and looking for products, but mainly promoting products. So a person goes on the online and he wants to promote his product. Now, in order to do so, he feels, in some cases, he feels tempted to want to criticize the product of his competitor. And you know, when he goes online, he sort of shifts his identity or hides his identity, and people are reading this and they see negative things and critiques about such and such a product. If there's no transparency, then in essence you are violating Midvar Sheker Tirchak. There's a certain element here of Gnevas Das. If the person would know who you are, and he would recognize the fact that you are a competitor in this market, not just some sort of a user or a third party who is a judge of a product without being the Gevedov, without it being relevant to him. So you begin to fool people by putting things online that are negative about a competitor's product. So you're gaining financially here. You're criticizing your competitor's project. Now, the person reading the internet, reading your message, might not realize who you are. You're not being transparent. You're hiding your identity. Had they known who you are and that you represented a competing company, they would take a different stand and have a different response to what they read online as a critique, because they realize it's coming from a competitor, but you're hiding the fact that it's coming from a competitor. Now, let's say, for example, you say something pejorative about someone who wronged you, and you think that that's okay. I mean, let's say you've gone through the laws of Lashon and Hara, and you've checked, you've finally X'd out all the possible violations of Lashon and Hara because you were wronged by someone, and therefore you feel it's a mitzvah to present publicly a critique against him. Well, there's Dvar Sheker Tirchak here, because nobody knows when they read the internet that you were wronged by this person, that you have a personal negia. So it's not enough to be anonymous, which on the one hand is, you know, makes it even, again, from your perspective, makes it good to be anonymous. Nobody has to know who said this, and it has so much more impact if nobody knows who said this because you're anonymous. But on the other hand, as we said before, anonymity comes with its negative result that there's no inhibition, and rather there's hefkeres. But we're talking about something else. Let's say you were anonymous, but you're not transparent. Nobody realizes when they read your words that you have a bias. And in effect, you are really misleading those who are reading your statements, because they don't know who you are, and therefore they assume you're not biased. You're giving an objective umpire, you know, a referee's evaluation of a product or a person or whatever it might be. so that there's something in the world of the digital age or the world of social media, which is called transparency through disclaimers. So in other words, on the one hand, we're going to allow you to maintain your anonymity and keep in mind all the problems with that. But you have to be creative in somehow formulating a disclaimer. And that is a kind of a transparency. What it means, you're showing that there's a disclaimer over here. Let's say, for example, two stores are selling a product in your community. You own one of them. So you want to describe a negative experience with your competitor, but at the same time you want to remain anonymous. What happens is that the reader doesn't realize that you're the competitor. So he reads about your negative experience. You know, you can go to a hotel, for example, and then rate on the internet exactly your experience in the hotel. I mean, and there are millions of examples of this where they give you an option of describing, you know, you went to visit someplace and it's a major, you know, it's a major place for enjoyment, for vacation, and so forth and so on. You know, it's a place where they take you boating, or they take you MTVing, or whatever experience, whatever fun you want to go to, and then they expect you to write about your experience on the internet. And if your anonymity is such that the reader doesn't realize that you are a competitor, that's already Gneva stops. He doesn't realize this. He doesn't know that you have a clear bias. So the aspect of anonymity again has a negative effect, because by being anonymous, you are hiding your bias, which has a tremendous effect, a misleading effect on the reader. He has no clue that you have a bias. He thinks that you're just an objective bystander. So that what you could do, perhaps, is to find someone who had the same negative experience with your competitor as you had, and ask that person to describe his negative experience. And he, that other person, could add a disclaimer in which he says, look, I'm not biased over here. Or, on the contrary, maybe he could... Maybe we should say the other way around, that if you ask someone else to describe the negative experience that he had, he should include a disclaimer which indicates that he does have a connection to the store. That this person who's writing negative about X is someone who is a client. He's a very loyal and devoted client to a competing firm or competing company. And that, you know, I don't want you to, you know, so I'm writing on the internet, I don't want you to take my words and it's Torah selection that, it, you know, it's the final Torah on this, because I have a connection to one store and therefore I have a bias. So basically, if you don't in some way indicate your bias, if your anonymity conceals your bias, then there's an element of Gneva Stas, because they don't realize your bias. And they're impacted by what they read, by what they hear over the internet about a certain product, a certain company, a certain person. So therefore there's an element here of transparency. And the transparency requires that you make a disclaimer and you say, look, Rabosai, here's what I had. I had a negative experience, but I have to tell you that I'm connected to the other store. I'm a loyal client of the competing store. And that's called transparency. So again, without indicating your name, so you're still anonymous, but you do indicate your connection to the competing company or competing store, because then you're being honest with the person who's reading your words, and you are implying that you are biased for obvious reasons, because you are connected to a competing store. Now, we mentioned before the concept of privacy, but we haven't really discussed it in great length. The Torah forbids exposing someone else and violating their privacy by being megalos sod and revealing secrets. There are only some very few exceptions to that rule. People have confidence in you. They say things in confidence, and you have to respect that confidence. If you break that confidence by using the internet, you are violating the iser of megalos sod. You might be violating even violations in secular law. You know, we have a dina de malchusa dina here also, because if you violate someone's confidence by revealing his secrets and it has a negative effect on his reputation, it is a sort of slander. And not only that, it's a violation of confidentiality. People tell you things as in confidence, and you are meant to maintain the sod, you know, maintain that confidence in them, and that can confidentiality, and not reveal personal information or confidential information about other people. So when you use the internet, you have to be very, very sensitive and very inhibited about not violating someone's confidence and violating the ethical commitment to confidentiality. And this is what we mean by being careful about not being megalos sod and being careful not to reveal confidential information about others. Now, we have the surim that we mentioned before of Lashon Hara and Otsar Shem Ra. You know, we cannot overemphasize the significance of those isurim, which are very severe isurim, when we talk about use of the internet. So if you're describing people or organizations in a detrimental way, in a disparaging way, in less than a flattering light, then as a result, you are defaming someone, which is Hotzah Shem Ra. And even if you're not defaming them by being negative about them, you violate the Issur of Lashon Hara. And to find exceptions to the rule of Lashon Hara, that's going to be a real problem. You know, you're going to have to look high and low for situations in which you could be negative about someone, on the internet, without violating Lashon Hara. That's a tall order. How are you going to find such a thing? Such a heter. So therefore, we can cause tremendous damage to people online. And thousands and untold thousands of people might be reading your words. This is even more severe than regular Lashon Hara, where a person or two people are listening to you. Here, who knows how many endless numbers of people are listening to you. And within the laws of Lashon Hara, we have something called Avak Lashon Hara, to avoid something that potentially might come to a disparaging negative image of a person. And for example, you might get benefit from being disparaging. Let me just read to you one sentence here from this essay. It says, the requirements of Avak Lashon Hara include not only a social benefit in revealing the information, but also, amongst other conditions, a lack of bias. So when discussing neutral or even positive stories, even then there might be an iser of Avak Lashon Hara, beware of the potential to provoke criticism. You say something good about someone, and then people, bloggers and so forth, they'll write into you, well, what about this and what about that, and they start criticizing. So you're being mishabeach someone in front of others, and those others would come to Lashon Hara. You've actually provoked criticism and negative comments. So if you praise someone on the internet or some organization, if it's a little bit exaggerated, that's inevitably going to, there's going to generate some disagreement, and somebody's going to present the story to the contrary. So you had good intentions in mind, you were being mishabeah, but as a result, there was something negative. So we have to realize and anticipate all this fallout. We have to be very careful about what we're writing on the internet. And you know, you're not only in violation, perhaps, of your own isurim of lashon hara, avak lashon hara, and sheker gili and gneivas das, but you're also over lifnei iver if you trick or tempt other people to sin. And in lashon hara, of course, there are two isurim. There's the speaking and there's the listening. So you're putting out that negative information, that lashon hara, and people are reading it. You are violating lifnei iver by making it accessible to them. And there have got to be many ways in which you would accomplish your goal in heter and doing it legally according to halacha, without necessarily putting things up on the internet. You know, the implication of putting things up on the internet without responsibility and the possibility of defaming people. And if you're not defaming someone, you may inadvertently create a forum, because the internet becomes a forum for defamation. And in social media, there are tremendous implications of this principle. Very significant. We have to find the recommendations to avoid defaming or creating a framework, a venue for defamation. Now, in some cases, you know, because you're super careful about this, you might lose followers. You have a strict stance, but others will respect the fact that you're maintaining high standards. You're not just what they call tabloid journalism. You know, you're not just trying to defame people or in any way, but you're trying to be positive. You're trying to be dedicated to halacha and to morality. Now, there's another thing about using the internet which is very, very dangerous, and that is the what we call sending links. You know, there may be a story, a negative story on the internet, and you send it as a link to someone. And that's very damaging. The story itself is damaging, but you're highlighting it. You're sending a link. You're really, again, under lifnei iver. You may say to yourself, well, I myself didn't know about this negative thing, this damaging story. Let others know about it. But we're publicizing it. So we're taking lashon hara and we're spreading it. And we're basically empowering or facilitating others to reveal to themselves that story. We're making those stories even more public. And again, if it's not litoelet, which is a very unique and limited kind of heter, then it's another violation of lashon hara. There may be situations in which you can publicize a damaging story because of the toelet, because of the very need to publicize it, but again, you have to sit shiv in a kiyah before you can come to the conclusion that it, you know, that you're allowed to publicize a story that's defaming, that's negative. And not only that, how do you know the story is true? You know, there may be a bunch of allegations on the internet and stories that are negative, but they're unproven. And you know, you may not have any ulterior motives and personal benefit from spreading these stories, but on the other hand, you don't know that they're true. So it's really, really complicated when you send people a link to a story. You better ask a rav for a psak for that before you do that. Now, also the internet, in the sense of copyright laws, has a tremendous yetzahara, a tremendous pull for theft, for gneva. You know, there are copyright laws that the Torah for sure would validate, and halachically people have a according to Torah copyright laws. So a person has a creative idea and you steal it. You take credit for it. Whether it's a written word, it might be a photograph, it might be an image. And therefore the internet presents a very great challenge in terms of gneiva. When I'm talking about gneiva, I'm talking not about gneiva stas, but simple gneiva, because you're stealing ideas and products and creative products that belong to others. Now, this also applies to WhatsApp groups. You could have WhatsApp groups that are groups of professionals in a particular area. And let's say Yankel Berel puts up his idea on a WhatsApp, and then Shmuel Berel says, well, it's my idea, and he starts spreading it as if it's his own. In effect, he is violating gneiva. And the problem is that the internet has made gneiva so easy, just with one click of a button, you're a ganav. Now also, we have a general iser benon lechaver kol donos tvarim. You know, we have to make sure that we're not causing anyone else anguish and suffering, emotional distress. And therefore, when we insult people on the internet, even if we're anonymous, nevertheless, this becomes a kind of onas dvarim. And not only that, it has such an impact. We get almost addicted, almost trained, and create patterns of conduct and that are negative, that are aggressive, because of this violation of onas dvarim. And we're hurting people. We're causing them real damage. And damage goes beyond the computer screen. If you look up in Wikipedia, there's a concept called cyberbullying. You can bully someone over the cyber, over the net. And the definition is the use of the internet and related technologies to harm other people in a deliberate, repeated, and hostile manner. That comes from the Heliga Wikipedia. And this is basically verbally attacking someone, bullying a person. We call it stalking a person. It's onas dvarim. And again, it's so easy to do so over the internet. And you have to realize that even if you have a one-time attack, that's also wrong. Someone who expends much time and effort and has created something and you denigrate him, that's very hurtful for him. Even if you're correct, you might be emes. Again, we're not talking about falsification now. We're not talking about gneivas das or sheker. We're talking simply about onas dvarim. You know, you remind a person of his earlier days, and even it's true, every word that you say, you still violate onas dvarim. You cause him tremendous humiliation, hurt, and pain. So if you have very strong feelings about something, how are you going to express them on the internet without insulting others, without causing others anguish and pain? That's the question you have to ask yourself. You have strong feelings. How do you use the internet in a way that you don't violate basic moral laws of Bein Adam L'Chavero, Isurim, that again are the most severe Isurim that we have? Maybe we lost the Mikdash because of the violation of these Isurim, but now we have the internet and it's so simple, so easy, when you have these pent-up feelings, to violate all these Isurim and ethical Jewish laws by using, or shall we say, misusing the internet. Now, another problem, as we've seen over and over again, especially people get addicted to the internet, is the loss of time, bittul zman. You know, time is a precious gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed us with. And if you have children, they're clamoring for attention. If you have work, you know, there's completion of the work. But, you know, the internet is kind of a black hole as far as time is concerned. It's endless. And the involvement in the web can easily take up, swallow so much of your time and make it impossible for you to devote your time to what's really primary, to fulfill the tasks and the responsibilities that you genuinely have to fulfill. There are certain things you have to attend to on a regular basis. There are people in your life that require attention. There are religious obligations that are individuals, even if they're not addicted to the internet, they may waste a lot of precious time, which is Bittul Torah, on the internet. And not only that, if they're employees and they waste time between 9 and 5 when they're supposed to be working on the internet, that's gezel. And in terms of family relations, we know, and we've seen over and over again too many hurtful, painful times, that one spouse is so dedicated to the internet, so involved in the internet, in competing on the internet, auctions on the internet, that they neglect their spouses. And shalom bias is negatively affected by this. The involvement and dedication to the very alluring and distracting internet can sometimes ruin the mitzvah of chinuch, undermine the mitzvah of chinuch towards one's children. You're so involved in the internet, you don't have time for your children. And we mentioned, of course, the problems of gezel and dina machusa dina. If we violate copyright laws and we take others' ideas and we consider them as our own. The basic rule, if there was one, shall we say, tenet of all tenets, or yesod of all yesodos in using the internet, which is a public domain, is to be positive. Find things that are positive. Again, not to exaggerate, not to create a framework which might induce others to criticize. Certainly not to damage anyone or the Jewish community, the Torah itself. Not to spread, you know, teachings of the Torah that might be misunderstood. That's Ziyuf HaTorah. Incorrect teachings that might be Chil Hashem, but rather just simply to be positive. We need to be positive, especially as Jews, when we put things up on the internet, and if we're describing some Jewish practice or tenet or part of Torah, then realize how, you know, the users who look onto the internet, they may very well misunderstand. They hear things that sound racist, or I don't know what. They think that there are trends of thought and practice within Yiddishkeit that cannot be tolerated. And therefore, since the internet has a global nature to it, we have to be responsible about explaining the Torah, presenting the Torah in a positive light, behaving in a way and expressing ideas in a way that will avoid misunderstanding, absolute clarity, and create respect and yiras hakovod for the Torah, a love for the Torah. If a person writes something that could be relevant to Torah, a description of some religious group, how do you phrase it? You want to impact on people's impressions of your Torah, of your community, of the greater Jewish community. You have to be critical. Again, within the bounds, within the bounds of honesty, you have to create a positive image. And that's going to be a Kiddush Hashem. To create a negative image would be Chil Hashem. So it's absolutely critical that you avoid any lack of clarity, that you avoid, of course, undermining other people's religious convictions. You know, there are other people out there who are undergoing a religious crisis. You know, they're on the edge, chas v'shalom, of an abyss spiritually and religiously. You don't want to push them over. You have to be very careful. And here I want to address Rabbonim and Talmidei Chachamim who may be saying things. Writing things and publishing them on the internet, or saying things that will be heard and transcribed and published on the internet. Realize who's out there. You know, there are people who are perhaps on the edge. You know, they're not ready for accepting the Torah. Maybe they're Bali Tshuva or not yet Bali Tshuva. They don't come from a religious background. they're undergoing religious crises. I mean, this is true in terms of everything we do, every step, every mode of behavior that we have. We interact with other people, especially non-Jews. We have to be sensitive to how our actions, our thoughts, our words can be misunderstood. If someone, you know, let's say there are theological debates and discussions that appear on the internet. This is common today. And there are those who are going through spiritual crises. You know, they're on the edge of spiritual collapse. You don't want to push them over the edge. Make sure that you are very, very careful to avoid any misunderstanding, to avoid any, you know, any interpretation of your words or your actions as being pejorative, being negative, as being a standoff to other people. You know, you want to build up the Torah, but at the same time, you can't lower the, you know, everyone's a Tzel of Elohim. Your standards of what to be said and what to be published today, because of the accessibility and the public access of the internet, has to be, you know, the standards have to be very high. The care has to be extremely, extremely high. We have to be sensitive about this issue. If a rabbi is out there and he's teaching and he's saying things, he has to be aware that he can't just be joking around amongst his friends. His words are not limited to the 10 people are sitting in the room or the 100 people sitting in the room. His words might be reaching out to millions of people. And therefore, this is what Yadus demands: a certain behavior, a certain sneers, a certain modesty in the way we act, a certain zehirus in being very, very careful. And we have to avoid gaiva, so that people shouldn't think we're looking down upon them. Another issue, again, that could come up in the use of the internet is having some sort of interaction with, you know, a married person, a married member of the opposite sex. Of course, we can talk about using the internet and seeing pictures of people who are not properly dressed. And although in certain communities maybe that standard for dress is okay, you know, but for our standards, they're not okay. And if these standards of tznius are being violated, it's not necessarily explicit, but it is out there. And, you know, adults and children and teenagers have to be, you know, or may be exposed. So of course we have to be very careful about what they're exposed to. We need tools to help us, you know, maintain that we are absolutely in control of what they're being exposed to. And therefore, with regard to tznius, you know, those who use the internet have to be given a musar shmooz on a regular basis and constantly being mindful of the importance of tznius to make sure that they are living up to the standards that they really want to follow. So some of the ideas that we mentioned here, I call it part one, are very, very important, and B'li Neder will get together for another discussion for part two. But before we end, I want to reemphasize what we said at the beginning about Lashon Hara. There's a Torah law not just to speak Lashon Hara, but to listen to Lashon Hara, to accept it, to believe it. And that comes under the Isser at the beginning of the 23rd chapter of Shmos, which it says, do not accept a false report. In other words, there's an absolute isur to listen to Lashon Hara, even if he has no intention of believing in it, just to listen to it. Unless, of course, the information is very relevant to him in a very constructive, toelous way. But in the lack of, you know, leaving out that exceptional case, Lashon Hara is forbidden even to listen to. And then if you speak Lashon Hara, if you write Lashon Hara, if you publicize it, then you are violating Lifnei Iver, you are causing others to violate the Issur of listening to Lashon Hara, just because you put it out there on the internet. And don't fool yourself. The Chafetz Chaim writes that the Issur Lashon Hara applies not just to speaking, but even to writing. If you write something in a letter, that could be Lashon Hara. If it's negative, I mean, it will be Lashon Hara. And therefore, it doesn't matter in what method, what way he communicates Lashon Hara, whether he speaks it, he implies it, it's a hint, it's always going to be Lashon Hara. and therefore on the internet he might be violating the Isur of Lashon Hara. And you know, this entire sugya in Erchin on Daf Tezvav, Tezayin, that whole sugya about Lashon Hara. And in a sense, you know, the mouth is given the most positive and yet the most potentially the most negative violations of Isurim. We have to be so careful. The Gemara Ksubas talks about the way the ear is formed so that we can, you know, the earlobes, as we call them, can be used as earplugs so we don't hear Lashon Hara if somebody's speaking Lashon Hara. You know, the fingers are tapered like pegs so that if anyone hears anything improper, he can insert the fingers into his ears. You know, Rav Levi says in the Medrash Rabbah that there are six organs that serve the human being. Three are under his control and three are not. Those which are not in control are the eyes, the ear, and the nose. Because he sees what he doesn't want to see, he hears what he doesn't want to hear, he smells what he doesn't want to smell. These are three organs which are not under his control. He has control over his mouth, his hand, his foot. And if he desires it, he can read in the Torah, and that's a great mitzvah. Or he can read things that chas v'sholem, you know, have bad languages and so forth and so on. There might be blasphemy. These are all serious isurim. We have to be very careful about how we use the internet. And are we exposing ourselves to things that we're not allowed to expose ourselves to? Now we know that there's a mitzvah ocheach tochiach. And on the one hand, we have a certain natural tendency to be social critics. You know, we see members of society, we see individuals who are making terrible mistakes. And our criticism we view as an expression of love for others, of tochach, of caring for others, of standing up for others. But we have to be super careful within the context of tochach that we're doing the right thing for the right reasons. We have no bias, as we discussed at great length earlier. And we're not going to be a social critic just for the sake of being a social critic. And of course, one of the greatest isurim we have in the Torah, in Halacha, is halbonas pnei chavero, to humiliate others. Well, what easier way is there to humiliate others than to use the internet to do so? And Chazal compare humiliating others to shvichas damim. You know, the face of a person who's humiliated turns red. It's as if you destroyed him. And the Torah commands us tzedek tzedek tirdof. We have to pursue justice. We have to actively promote justice. And therefore, if you know we're reporting something that's inappropriate through social media, then it's quite possible that we're violating the mitzvah of tzedek tzedek tirdof. Man was created in tzelem Elokim, the image of God. And therefore we have to be treated in a certain way. Now, there is a mitzvah of hatzolos nefashos, and therefore if you know of some threat, then you have to report that. Again, I'm not sure if the way to do that is through the internet. You have to ask, you know, you have to ask a good guide for that, a professional guide. But there definitely is an obligation in Judaism that, in effect, overrides almost everything else, and that is hatzolos nefashos. V'chai b'hem v'lo shiyomis b'hem. Now, certain things you have to report. Let's say somebody's talking about suicide, and that's a behavior that might lead to, you know, end up in committing suicide. That has to be reported. But exactly how to do it, and whether we should be using the internet, that requires really serious professional guidance. The general mitzvah, the most profound mitzvah of all, is Bakei Sholom V'Radfeu, seek peace and pursue it. And that means we have to reduce conflicts. That is our mandate. So therefore, be careful about using the internet. If it's going to create more conflicts, then that's not Bakei Sholom V'Radfeu. So we need a series of laws, we need ethical teachings that on the one hand advocate standing up for others and protecting their well-being in so many different ways, but at the same time doesn't get out of bounds in terms of undermining someone's privacy. And you'll need some very serious halachic guidance. So again, we have to report inappropriate behavior, but the question is how to do it. If you're going to publicize it through the internet and social media, you may destroy a person's reputation. You may undermine his whole situation in life. That's what's at stake over here. It's almost a lo tirtzach. And we're talking about something that on the internet is permanent. It can never ever be removed. It's accessible to the entire globe. So we mentioned all the great advantages and opportunities that the internet has. There's so much that we as B'nai Torah could get out of the internet if that's your hashkafa. If we use it properly with sinun and everything else. But at every stage we have to recognize the permanence of using of the internet, the spoken words on the internet that are irretrievable. And that's some of the things that we really, really have to think about with great zehirus, with great caution. So Yiratzo may be his will that will fulfill our obligations, and we'll use this great tool that God has afforded us for Torah, for great things, but not chas shalom to misuse them. There's very great danger here. We have to be very careful. We need the guidelines according to so many different halakhic principles and ethical principles that we touched upon. And if we do so, and if we succeed in our zahirus of overcoming any possible temptations to other Yisurim by using social media, then Tovol of Bracha will be blessed, Mirtz Hashem, with a great blessing from Shemayim.